The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Welcome to all of our listeners this morning, wherever you might be in central South Berkshire County, anywhere around the country, watching us on Pittsfield Community Television's online services, PCTV Select, and also, of course, on WTBR's web stream. Got lots of people listening from all over. It's a wonderful thing, keeping connections here with Pittsfield and the Berkshires. It's Thursday, June 12th, and we have a nice day outside. I'm looking out the window right now, and it's not bad considering what we've been through for the last few weeks. We'll take the good weather when we get it. We have a great show coming up for you this morning. We have folks from the Josh Billings Run Aground. We have Chris Calvert, who is the president of the race committee, and Brian Burkle, the race director. We're going to be talking all about that race and sort of a return to tradition that they're experiencing this year. We'll talk all about that in just a moment. First, a quick nod to the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade. Yes, that's coming up, too. It's already the 12th of June. Can you believe it? And before you know it, it will be July. We had a wonderful parade and preview program yesterday here at the studio. That was a live TV show. It is still available on the PCTV website, pittsfieldtv.org. You can jump in there and watch the program where we debuted this year's Grand Marshal to the parade, Madison Quinn. She is the founder of Strong Little Souls, a Pittsfield native, and just a wonderful person and a great connection to this year's Young at Heart theme to the parade. So congratulations to Madison, and what an honor it was to be able to interview her yesterday during that program. So check that program out. Again, it's at pittsfieldtv.org if you'd like to watch that. All right, first let's get to the weather forecast here today, and then we'll get on with our interview with the folks from the Josh. Here we go. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the lower 50s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny. Highs in the mid 70s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
See, now that sounds like a nice forecast. I was so sick of giving the bad forecast here, but that's a nice one. And when you can get a couple of days in a row where you get some sun and some mid to upper 70s, you can't beat that. I did start to hear, though, that we might see some rain again on Saturday. Is that true? I hope not. Well, we didn't get out that far in the weather forecast, but, you know, it is what it is. All right, here it is. Welcome back again to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Joining me here in the studio now, we have Chris Calvert and Brian Burkle. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So all about the Josh today. People know it locally as the as the Josh Billings Run Aground, that great triathlon that happens just south of Pittsfield, but certainly well within the listening range of our station for sure. And what a great tradition it is and has been for this area. Who would like to give me just a little, if people aren't familiar with the race or maybe they're not into that running and paddling, biking community, you know, a lot of people are, maybe give me a little bit of history about the race. Who would like to start with that?
I could start with that. This is the 48th year that we've been able to have this race. It's technically the longest triathlon of its kind in the entire nation. Wow. Which is really cool.
That's amazing. So were triathlons just not a thing before that? Was it a fairly new thing in the middle of the 20th century, and then here it was in Berkshire County?
It's not your typical triathlon.
Yeah.
we start with a bike ride that continues on into a canoe, kayak, or paddleboard, and then finishes with a run. Most traditional triathlons involve a swim instead of a paddle.
Mm-hmm. So how did the race get started in Berkshire County? Do you have any idea how that all came about? Was there a small group of people that decided, hey, it would be great to have a triathlon here in Berkshire County? It's just a great place to have it.
I think there were a lot of people that were all into these activities and all friends, and I think it started off as kind of a camaraderie thing, getting together and enjoying the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess. I can't document it, but you know, that's the.
But sometime in the 1970s, it sounds like that might have been the case.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've always had a huge community of paddlers and bikers and runners. I mean, it's a beautiful area.
Of
we
course.
Get people coming to the race from all over. So yeah, it's exciting to be back at Tanglewood again, going back to that, you know, glorious finish going down into the main gate. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's kind of like the main headline here this morning, isn't it? Which is the return to tradition. I'm sure it made headlines earlier than our show, but the idea that for the last few years, the finish line of the race was no longer going to be Tanglewood. And then this year, we're coming back to that, right? So talk about that a little bit, Brian.
Yeah, so we're really excited about that because, like you said, it's a return to tradition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Josh is such a tradition here in Berkshire County. I mean, that's just it. We call it the Josh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Josh Billings Running Ground Triathlon. But everybody knows when you say the Josh, you know what you're talking about. And, yeah, so over the years, going back to that first one we were talking about, I think it was 1976, that actually began up in Mount Greylock.
Really?
Up at the high school. And then the bicyclists turned over to the runners at Brody Mountain, or vice versa. It might have been the other way around. And then they still finished down at Stockbridge Bowl with the canoeists.
Okay.
And at the time, so going back to 76, the first after party, which they call lovingly the Bash, right, was held at what is now the Apple Tree Inn.
Okay.
At the time, it was owned by Alice from Alice's Restaurant.
Ah.
So it was right across the street from Tanglewood. But then very soon thereafter, Tanglewood became that finish line because, you know, it's an iconic setting, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about Berkshire's and you talk about Tanglewood, coming down that main gate is really something,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So that was the original route. I know it has been changed over the years. I remember it used to come right down through Lenox. Back in the 80s, I can remember watching the bikes try to come down Main Street. And then take that sharp right onto West Street, right by the monument.
Yeah.
It was harrowing for sure. So over the years, it's developed into different routes. And most recently, for the past probably a couple of decades at this point, it's been starting down in Great Barrington on Route 7 near the near the Price Chopper Plaza there. And it goes down Main Street in Great Barrington, turns onto Taconic. And then
which one's Taconic?
So that's just after Railroad Street.
Okay.
Yep. So it's the next intersection across from Cyril's Castle, that area.
Right.
And then it winds up through Alford, West Stockbridge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it's a beautiful, talk about a great ride, on a Sunday morning, weather permitting.
How hilly is that ride for the bikers?
There are certainly some hills along that way. There's definitely some elevation, no doubt about it. And then they come down through Stockbridge, they come through the Four Corners there at Botanical Gardens. They'll come down into Stockbridge, turn right at the Red Lion Inn, go up Prospect Street, past Nomkeg.
That's a hill right there,
That in itself is a hill, sure. And that's not the last one either. Because then they'll go up past the Causeway and Mackinac, and then they'll turn left at Tanglewood. They'll turn left onto 183, where they will meet up with if they're in a part of a relay team, they'll relay at the boat ramp. And then the boaters will go almost twice around the lake, where they will finish
over Stockbridge Bowl.
On Stockbridge Bowl, Lake Mackinac. And they'll finish over at Camp Mackinac, where the runners will then proceed, and they will finish at Tanglewood. So to go back to your question.
The running part of it is how long of a run?
So
let's go back to the bike. So the bike I see here is 27 miles.
Correct.
For an average biker, and I'm not an average biker, I'm not even a biker, how difficult is that first leg, that 27 miles? Is that going to wipe you out?
You just got to pace yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people go right out of the gate because they're excited about all the racing and trying to keep up with all the top guys. And then you get slammed right into a hill. So that part can get a little bit difficult, but if you take your time and work together with other bikers, you can get through it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely, there's going to be a lot of competition from a lot of top cyclers in the Berkshires right up at the front, and they're always exciting to watch, especially when they come in at the finish.
A lot of these bikers, I would imagine, are also training like now for this. We're in June. This is September race. They're going out there now, right?
Building things up.
Yeah.
That and a lot of them will be racing, you know, without doing the Josh, but other races throughout the summer.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, we still have people, you know, on a hybrid bike doing the course and having a good time. So not everybody's training every day.
Yeah. But training can be important, right?
For the endurance, yeah.
For that, yeah. All right, so then 27 miles of bike, and then, Brian, you mentioned two times around Lake Mackinac, Stockbridge Bowl.
Right.
That's about 5 miles worth of paddling?
About 5 miles, yeah. Mm. Yep. And then the runners run about, I think, 6.5.
So it's almost a 10K.
Almost a 10K, okay. Yeah. Almost a 10K.
All the numbers are, you know, estimates.
Yeah.
And that's how many miles? About 7 miles? 10K?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range. My math is kind of fuzzy at this time of the morning.
You're good. The metric system.
Yeah. That one's a tough one, too. That last leg heading up that hill on 183 heading towards Tanglewood, that one always got me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going by Kripalu there, there's that elevation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a challenge. You want it to be a challenge, right?
It's not a
cakewalk, but it also sounds like something that many people in different categories of fitness could probably do at least one of those legs, right? And that's where we sort of get into the team aspect of the race. Mm-hmm. Is that common with other triathlons? Or is it more common to be the Ironman, the one person that does all three, or is it something where the team aspect is more unique about this race?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know too many other triathlons that are like this, where you're really getting into, you know, teams coming together in all sorts of aspects. You know, I know the Ironman's your traditional, but there's other triathlons kind of similar to it in the area. I know that they do some over in Northfield, where they will do a paddle and a bike or a cross-country ski, but they're all... Mm. You know, definitely different from the Josh. That and the weather is normally a little bit warmer in mid-September.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of the hoorah for the Berkshires, you know, calling the end of the summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does the weather impact this race? Because September 14th, you could get some really nice weather. I'm thinking what's out there today. I would think you'd want it cooler and maybe less sunny because you're working up such a sweat. I mean, you know, you got to keep your body cool. Is that preferred?
Well, I remember starting the Ironman one year, and it was snowing at the bike start.
Well, you can get that also on September 14th, couldn't
yes.
you?
Yeah. Over all the years, we've actually gotten really lucky with weather. The one year we did have to cancel it, it looked like some very severe weather was coming through, which, you know how that goes.
I would think thunder and lightning would be the death knell. Right? You don't want people running and boating in lightning.
300 people on the water is kind of a little bit of a liability.
Yeah, understood.
And when we talk about the water part of it, like Chris said, we're different from most triathlons in that we are a no-swim triathlon.
Mm.
So we supplement the swimming with boating. So and we offer different categories on that. So you can use different watercraft.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, so you can do kayak.
My first thought was you'd be kayaking,
yeah,
right?
But canoe is traditionally the thing, right?
Okay.
And then kayaks have come into more popularity. Mm-hmm. So kayaks are an option, as well as stand-up paddle boards.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So that wouldn't be my choice. but there are people who have really mastered that, you know, and they're comfortable doing that for the purpose of a race, whether they're doing it as an iron category or if they're doing it as a team.
For the paddling, boating people, is there an advantage of one watercraft versus another? Do people get a little more speed out of one or the other of the crafts?
Which one you can stay on top of.
Yeah.
You know, even when it comes to the canoes, you've got, you know, pro boats, you got fast racing boats, and you've got Grumman canoes that are plodding along. So yeah. There's a bunch of different categories within mm-hmm. that. You've got surf skis, which are very fast, but not very stable as well. You've got, even with paddle boards, there are racing boards, there are touring boards, there are rec boards. So it's fun to watch and see all the people on the water all at the same time. And, the actions with the bikes coming in. So traditionally with our course as it is now, it's been a great spectator sport as well. Mm. And we're really hoping to get our participants back, but we're really looking forward to getting all the spectators back too, to make it that special event.
Mm. Yeah.
And you mentioned before about why it's such a big deal that we're going back to, or you asked earlier. I don't think I ever answered your question fully.
No, let's go ahead with that. Yeah. why is it a big deal that we're ending at the Tanglewood main gate again like it used to be?
Right. So, again, it goes back to the tradition of it. The iconic finish is great. But for a few years there, we were finishing the race at Camp Mackinac. Mm-hmm. And they were super
basically
great.
Basically right around the corner.
Yes. And they were fantastic. They were great hosts. Worked with us fantastically. But logistically, it was a little bit hard to get people down in there. Mm. So for the purpose of that bash, where our spectators and our families and our friends and our supporters of all the racers wanted to congregate with the racers afterwards, it was very complicated to get down into that location. So when we're talking about Tanglewood at the main gate, it can't get more convenient. They're used to hosting thousands of people at a single time. So there's lots of parking available.
Yep.
Everything will be right there at the main gate. The after party, the award ceremony, all that's going to be right there. So it makes it so much more convenient for all those supporting people and the spectators to join us.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, too. And Chris had mentioned the spectators, the viewers, people are sort of cheering people on the side. But for the teams and the individuals, there's a great amount of support people that are needed, right? Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so, we can't run this without volunteers, for starters, from our perspective, from actually running the race. So
what does that take to do? What do you need all the volunteers for?
So there's multiple different things. If anybody's interested, first of all, say go to our website and you can put your name in there and say, hey, listen, I'd love to be a part of this. You get a nice volunteer T-shirt with the Josh logo insignia on the front.
And the website is joshbillings.com.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. You can find everything there. So you can go and register as a volunteer. You can say what you might be interested in. And if you're just looking to volunteer, we'll find you a spot. Mm-hmm. But it includes all kinds of things, like people manning the water stations. Mm-hmm. We need race marshals along the way to make sure that the racers are going the right way, that type of thing. And in case of, of course, if somebody were to get injured, there's somebody there who can call for some help. Mm-hmm. We need help with crowd control, particularly at some of those big interchange areas, like at the boat ramp where the bikers are handing off to the boaters. And then at the bash, too, we could use some help at the finish line, collecting materials, keeping records. There's lots of opportunities for volunteers. So if anybody's looking to help out, it's going to be a beautiful day, right? It's going to definitely be a beautiful day out that day. Love to have you. And like I said, free T-shirt.
Free T-shirt.
Yeah. They're a Josh Billings T-shirt.
I think the other point that you were asking, too, though, a lot of the individual and tin teams, those teams also require a lot of help from friends within that are their support system to help them out, whether it be the person who's taking the bicycle from the guy so he can hop in a boat or a surf ski or whatever his vehicle of choice is, or somebody waiting at the other side to take his boat when it comes out of the water, set up his dry shoes and socks, get him ready or her ready to go to the next leg. There's a lot of people. I've definitely helped out on the support side, and I've had friends that have helped me out on the support side, and it's a group thing. Even if you're doing it by yourself, you still require a village.
Yeah, you need those folks. And I was sharing a story off air with Brian where my wife and I actually were the boat crew for a friend of hers who did it probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And that was a fun experience, It was like I didn't exactly know what I was supposed to be doing, but I knew I had to be there because there was going to be this exchange, right? They're going to come in, and then they're going to need the boat, or they're going to take the boat back out and whatever. And then we had to put the boat on our car and drive it. And but yeah, it's all logistics, right? It's how it all happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is an integral part. So,
yeah,
thanks for sharing that, because that's another thing that we really treasure with the Josh, are all those personal stories that people have had. We, you know, again, on our website, we actually have a section for stories. And someone just told me the other day that even on NPR, I know it's another channel, but they have they have a series called...
They're doing a fun drive today. We've got the content.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, nobody's listening today, right? The Moth Radio Hour. I don't know if you're familiar with that. So someone had just recently heard someone telling a story about their experience in the Josh. So there are lots of little stories out there. You know, as I'm going around promoting it and talking to people, I get a lot of people say, oh, I did it X number of years ago. And I say, well, you're going to do it this year, right? And hopefully they do it. But they all have, everybody has a story about it because it was an experience.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about their team. They talk about, I've talked to people who came in dead last, right? And they have the best story about it, you know, just how just things just went wrong, but they just, they powered through. And these two guys, they came in as a tin team. They were two brothers. They powered through and they got there at the end, you know, and it was always more exciting that they were the last ones, you know?
How did they split up that team if you had two? Because I can imagine with three, you know, you're going to have one person that specializes in each one of those different legs. And if you have two, what is one person, what's more likely they would do?
It can get complicated.
Yeah.
Because you could have two people that one person would bike it, and maybe you'd both be in the boat together.
Is that right? Yeah.
And then one person would run it.
Mm-hmm.
But
wow.
You could have one person bike it, one person paddle it, and then also run it.
Hmm.
I mean, you can mix it up in a million different ways. But
what's your opinion, Chris? And just to remind folks, we're talking about the Josh Billings Run Aground here on Morning Drive this morning. We're talking with Chris Calvert and Brian Burkle. Of the three legs, and you've run all three and you've done an Ironman. So
yes.
Tell us what was the hardest part of those three, and was it just the last one because you were already tired from the first two, or was there one particular leg of it that just seemed like it was tougher?
Well, the last leg is always the toughest because you've been pushing yourself the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it ends on a pretty steep hill, which for me, I'm not a runner, so that kind of beat me up a little bit. I probably should have trained a little bit more on that one. But they can all be challenging in a lot of ways. I know I've also been in the boat before on a windy day, and everybody's capsizing left and right. Fortunately, we've been pretty safe on the bike. We haven't had too many crashes. I know there was a minor one last year that everybody got out and walked away from.
Well, that's good. Involved multiple bikes?
There were a couple of different bikes, and some of it's, you know, if you're involved in a bike crash, sometimes it creates a mechanical. It's not your body's dead. It's the bike may not want to go anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not to mention it's a machine, right? So there can also be mechanical issues. Various things can go wrong with bikes over 27 miles.
If you can't shift into an easier gear before you hit that Alford Mountain climb, then you might be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But safety is a priority all the time. So we have, like I said, we have those field race marshals throughout the course. We have first responders on, you know, as part of the whole process. We have a command center. We're keeping track with all the agencies. We have multiple police officers on at intersections to help with traffic. So it's, you know, that's always a priority because we recognize that. We also have safety boats out on Stockbridge Bowl. Particularly if it's a windy day, you know, we are going to get some capsizes. But, you know, that could happen on still water, too.
Yeah.
So
what do you do with a capsize? Does someone run out and rescue them, bring them back? Or can someone recover and get back in the boat? I know that's hard because I tried kayaking a few times. Maybe not the best thing for me, but it is hard once you're in the water, right, to get back in the boat.
It is, but the race does hug the shore pretty close. If you go in, it's usually swim the boat to shore, flip it over, and
get back in.
If you're deeper into the lake, there are safety boats out there that can help you out. But I think most people are hugging the shore. So,
So people are probably wondering why we're talking about this now in June when the thing's actually going to be in September, right? And certainly people are, if you're thinking about doing it this year, you're probably already training or getting your teams together or whatever. But Registration is certainly open. Is there any kind of deadline or something that people need to follow and get themselves in? And how's registration going also right mm-hmm. now?
Yeah, registration is strong. We've got about 100 participants signed up right now. About half of those are people in the iron category.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, maybe not half, but pretty close. So what we're looking at for deadlines is the reason we're talking now is because July 1st, the registration fees will go up.
Okay.
So this is sort of the early bird period right now. So mm-hmm. it's $65 per person if you're in a team, mm-hmm. $120 if you're going to do the iron person.
Yeah.
And then those will go up after July 1st.
Okay.
So we want to kind of get the word out there about that. But also, to your point about training, you know, and just planning. Me personally, like, there's a lot of years where when I was running, for some reason, it just wasn't on my radar every year. I just fell into that same thing.
Yeah.
And it'd be like August and I'd be like, oh, that's coming up next. And I didn't have a team.
Comes
and
up on
like,
you quick, right?
Right.
So summer gets by you quick.
Yeah, it sure does. So we want to kind of put this on people's radars, especially for those who have always maybe wanted to do it and just haven't. Or they've done it in the past and it's been a while. So if it's not something that is just ingrained in them, like every year, like they just know it's coming. So they sign up.
Mm-hmm.
This is just to really kind of remind those people who in the past have thought about it, or maybe we can convince some people now to consider it and put together a team and start to practice and train. And again, you know, when we talk about practicing and training on this, it's to your own skill level. You know, mm-hmm. this is not a high, there are certainly some competitive, participants
sure.
for sure. But for the most part, this is really meant to just be fun.
I kind of liken it to a golf tournament, right? Like, you don't need to be super pro
right.
to play in the golf tournament right. and have fun.
Yeah.
You're out there, you're playing at your own skill level. At the end, there's a party, everybody gets together, you have some fun, it's camaraderie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you celebrate the people who are at the top level doing mm-hmm. the great work, but it doesn't lessen your experience, mm-hmm. right, of being
right.
in that.
And there's still, I mean, as far as, you know, competition, we do offer a first, second, and third prize in each category. And the big prize is the Josh Billings mug.
Ah.
Yes, which is,
this year, they're actually a little bit more extra special.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, we ran into a couple of situations. One is the word tariff, which we all love. And in previous years, I think the mugs were coming from China.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of felt like that's not the route we wanted to go, because we're bringing back our traditional route that we all love. And we switched up the categories a little bit, so we don't have quite as many categories. But we took a little bit extra money and got U.S.-made mugs mm-hmm. that are definitely a step up in quality
That's
from
cool.
what we've had in the past. So
nice. A little higher craftsmanship.
Yeah, we're hoping to get everybody excited for the Josh again and mm-hmm. get it back to what it traditionally had been.
That's great.
I'm not sure if we've mentioned the date of the Josh yet, though.
Well, we should definitely do that.
Yeah.
September 14th.
Yeah. All right, so 2025. Two weeks into September, basically.
Right, and you can register up until the day before.
Wow. Even with a full team.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What's that like, getting all that organized and pulling together, you know, all the threads of
that's easy.
What's needed? Yeah.
Super easy.
Yeah.
Piece of cake.
I don't know. We cover, what, 6 towns? Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a great team. The race committee, there's, what, maybe 12, 15 people on that race committee, and everybody's got their own experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some newer members of this team, and they're all... You know, we meet monthly. We discuss where we're at on things. You know, being in this role for myself this first year, I've gotten a lot of great advice and direction from those members of this committee, because there's a lot of institutional knowledge there and a lot of great new ideas, too.
Transitions like that can be hard, right? Especially if you've got long-term serving people who sort of carried the organization and the race and things for so many years. And inevitably, they have to move on and new people come in. How does that sort of knowledge get transferred and make sure that sort of the traditions are kept and that everybody still has the same kinds of experiences?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, we'll go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, this is my first year as president as well.
Oh, okay.
So there, you know, Brian and I are trying to run this together, figure it all out. But, you know, the people that have worked for years and years in the past that are still on the committee are still actively encouraging us and trying to train us on anything as they're getting ready to move on. So there's nobody that's not gonna pick up a phone and help you out if you have a question.
I would imagine very helpful.
Past directors, you know, particularly like Patty Spector, who did it for a number of years. You know, she's great to like call her. Yeah. She's been helpful with any questions I have. And then I keep running into former directors even before her, every now and then. So, but aside from all that, what's so helpful is the fact that this is such a valued tradition. And so when you say I'm with the Josh Billings, most everybody's like, oh yeah, you know, I don't even have to explain too much,
right.
You know, so it kind of comes together pretty easily. And there's a lot of, templated, things, especially with the courses and the first responder stuff, all those components, there's already a template to that. So it kind of, those parts come together pretty easy. Yeah.
Chris Calvert and Brian Burkle are my guests here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We're talking about the Josh Billings Run Aground, happening on September 14th. And there is a registration deadline where the fees go up after July 1st. So that's why we're talking about it now here in June. But of course, to get everybody excited about the ideas and the possibilities that are coming this year. We're going to take that top of the hour break right now and see thank our underwriters and get our station ID in. And as we always do, we'll come back for the second half of our conversation about the Josh in just a moment. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Will you be an angel for our WTBR DJs? Every day our DJs are cold, hungry, sad, and lonely, and they are crying out for help. For only 30 cents per day, WTBR can provide them with clean studios, microphones, audio board, and much, much more. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button and become a friend of WTBR. For only $8.97 per month, you can put some smiles on these faces. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The BRTA offers training to any person or group new to using the bus system or the process. We have a certified travel trainer that will make the process easier. Our travel trainer will ride the bus with you until you are more comfortable with how everything works. They can teach you about fares, how to read the schedules, how to get on or off the bus, and pedestrian safety. If you are interested in this service, please email traveltraining@berkshirerta.com.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hi, my name is Al Perlman, and I love jazz. Mostly jazz from the bebop and beyond period of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. I also love sharing my passion for jazz from my extensive jazz vinyl collection with listeners here in Berkshire County. So please join me on Sundays at 8 p.m. for my show Jazz Collector Live on WTBR-FM Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, here on Thursday, June 12th. And again, we are live and local here in our WTBR studio on Federico Drive. Happy to have you aboard this morning, speaking about the Josh Billings Run Aground this morning with our guests, Chris Calvert and Brian Burkle. And we'll get back to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's do the weather forecast one more time. Since it's such a nice forecast, I just want to play it over and over and over. But here it goes.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the upper 70s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the lower 50s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny. Highs in the mid-70s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Anytime I hear sun in the 70s, you got me. You had me at sunny. Yeah, but not bad, not bad. And hopefully we don't get the rain I'm hearing about on Saturday, but we'll see. That's the way it goes. All right, welcome back again. Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. And welcome back, Chris and Brian. Thanks again for being here and talking about the Josh today. We kind of got through the first half talking about the race and didn't really ask you who Josh Billings is. Mm. Why do we name the race after Josh Billings? How about that?
Yeah, sure. So Josh Billings was born in Lanesboro, 1818, so a little while ago.
Yeah, a little bit.
And he actually, his born name was Henry Wheeler Shaw. His dad, I guess, was a state senator at the time or something to that effect.
Okay.
So he went on to be a humorist and changed his name to Josh Billings. And so when I say humorist, I'm talking about like Mark Twain.
Okay.
Right. So yep. They were actually contemporaries.
Samuel
and actually,
Clemens. Yes.
Yeah, Samuel Clemens also changed his name.
Had to
right?
change your name to be a humorist.
I guess
then,
so. Yeah. I guess yeah. so. So they were actually contemporaries and actually knew each other and worked together at times. And so, you know, you'd make as a humorist, you know, Mark Twain was also an author, of course, but you'd go around and tell your story, sort of like a stand-up comedian, I guess, you know, if you wanted to compare it to something today. So Josh Billings was homegrown, and, you know, in those days, he was right up there with Josh, with Mark Twain. Mm-hmm. And so one of his famous sayings is, to finish is to win. Hmm. So I think, one, being a native of the area, and that saying was what resonated with the original founders of the race.
Sure.
Because they wanted that spirit to be the one for the race, yeah. in which, you know, it's about just finishing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not about winning. It's about having a good time, yeah. enjoying nature, enjoying each other, you know, sort of at the end of the season, you know, after summer. So that's the genesis of that.
Okay. Great motto, too. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The finish is to win. It's yeah. on our shirts. It's on our materials, absolutely.
Sort of like the was it Henry Louis Stevenson? It's better to what's the BCC? It's better to travel hopefully than to arrive. Something like that. Mm-hmm. That sounds like in the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's talk about since we sort of discussed the difference between the Ironman and the teams and the team spirit. What is Matchmaker and how does that work?
Yeah. So Matchmaker is an option that you can go to on our website. And that would be basically that we're putting people together. So let's say you want to participate. You don't want to do the iron, right? You are a good runner, or you are an accomplished cyclist, and that's what you want to do, or maybe not even accomplished. You just want to give it a try, right? So you reach out to the matchmaker. You say what your area is that you want to do, and we will work to put you together with other people who are looking for to fill a slot. We may have a team who has two people. But not a good bike, not somebody that doesn't bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
So we can connect that cyclist with that other team. That's pretty much it. So it's as simple as that. It's just putting people together so that they can put together a team.
So you don't,
in case there's a missing component in your team buildup.
Don't feel like you can't participate because you've only got one or two of the legs
right.
finished up. Maybe you've got two people and you need a third, right?
Right.
Something like that.
Yep. Or if, you know, like I said, if you're a runner and you're like, geez, I've always wanted to do the Josh, but I don't have a bike, you know, sign up as a runner. Say I'm looking for a team.
Nice.
And there's a specific link on our website for Matchmaker. Great. So you can go right to that.
And again, that website is joshbillings.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to jump and check out all of this information for sure. Let's talk about, and I think you had mentioned off air, about clinics and what's all that about? How does that work?
They're not scheduled as of right now, but we try to have two clinics. I usually think in mid-July and end of August or somewhere in that ballpark. And we'll put more about that on our website when we have those locked in. But it gives you a chance to, if you're a biker, to actually talk with somebody that really knows how to ride, especially in packs, to be safe and to, you know, makes everybody safer. But it also might teach you lessons about riding in groups as opposed to riding by yourself and working together. We do paddling clinics as well. I know I think we're set up for a couple of kayak ones, couple of canoe ones, paddle boards. I think we're doing, we do have paddle board clinics on Mondays down at the Stockbridge Bowl at around 6:30. It's kind of more of a social paddle, but we're always there for advice there as well.
Are there fees for the clinics?
No, they're free of charge. Nice. You know, we're just trying to, again, prepare everybody for doing a race of this magnitude and do it safely and make sure you keep a smile on your face. Yeah.
I guess I hadn't thought of the idea that riding in a pack of bicycles is different than just getting on your bike and riding somewhere, right? You have other things that you have to think about besides just sort of traffic and how you're feeling and whether you have the strength to get up that hill or whatever. Now you've got this one other element you got to think about.
Drafting is definitely a challenge, but in each of the legs, drafting is definitely a huge factor. If you're working in a pack of bikers, you're probably working at 30% less
is that right?
effort than you would be if you're just off on your own in the front.
Wow.
Same thing with canoes and kayaks. There's side serve and rear that you can get in on, and again, you can work a lot less and kind of really cruise along. And
that's
if you're working together with the other bikers or the other canoers as a pack, you can really push yourself forward.
Out of the three, Chris, which was your strongest suit? Were you the biker first and then paddler, or what was the thing you liked to do?
Well, it's split between the bike and the paddle.
Yeah.
The bike I loved because it's just such a beautiful ride. And if you are working with people, it's just fun. It's lots of smiles, lots of cheers. I mean, it's not cutthroat out there. At the end of the day, everybody's shaking hands and laughing but the boat I've done both racing canoes and recreational canoes and kayaks. That one's fun too, but unfortunately my back doesn't necessarily like it as much anymore.
Yeah,
so I'd probably say the bike would probably be the leg of choice for me.
And Brian, you and I were joking off mic before about running and how earlier in your career you had to run, but it wasn't exactly a choice.
Right.
And I know my son was on the cross-country team at Taconic High School, and his teammates would always say that, you know, my sport is your punishment. Mm-hmm. So you have to be kind of a special person to be a long-distance runner, right?
Right. Yeah. Initially, when I was in the state police, I went to the academy, and that was I didn't have a choice. I had to run there, right? But I was a little bit of a late bloomer to running. Mm-hmm. You know, my first marathon was when I was 40.
Wow.
And then I did a couple for a little series of time for some silly reason after that. It's just getting outside. I mean, that's what this, going back to, you know, the spirit of the Josh here, is not just about just finishing is to win, but, you know, getting outside, especially here in the Berkshires, and experiencing, whether you're running, whether you're canoeing, paddling, kayaking, bicycling, just the scenery. I mean, we're so fortunate here in Berkshires to have such all this beautiful scenery here, all this outdoor space, and to be able to have this kind of a hybrid of the outdoor experience and sport here in Berkshire County is great. So it's another reason. I mean, so many reasons that people will sign up.
Yeah. People that sign up for the Josh, that participate in the Josh, where are they from?
A lot of people are local. But we do get people from, you know, throughout New England, New York. We do have a few that will sign up from, you know, from California.
Wow.
Once in a great while, we'll get a few people.
I think from, we have some distance. People from Texas this year, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times it's because some of them are just, they just go to all these things, no matter what, no matter where they are, right? And in other words, others are because they have a team, or they used to live here, or they have a friend who's in it, who's talked them into, hey, come on up for the weekend. We'll go do this thing together. You know, again, going back to that camaraderie, just having a good time.
Yeah. No, I can imagine the word probably has gotten out over the years that it is a great race to run, and beautiful scenes, scenery, as you mentioned too, and a challenge, not a cakewalk.
No,
right?
It's not. Right. That's why these stories I was talking about come out of this, because people really feel an accomplishment with it, right? So it really resonates. That was a real experience. It wasn't just a bike ride, right? Yeah. They really had an experience. That's why they have all these wonderful stories about this, and you asked about where they come from, but I can also tell you that who's doing this is all kinds of people, right? So we've got obviously men and women. We have categories for men and women. We have mixed teams. We have all kinds of ages. I mean, the youngest age is like 10 if they're like with a parent, like maybe sharing in the kayak or something like that.
Is there recognition for different categories, or is
there,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. There is. Yep. And in fact, we have one of the teams is for 65 and over.
Okay.
And we have teams that do that. I mean, we have people who are in their 70s who do the Ironman stuff.
Very competitive teams. Too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have some new categories this year. Where we did reduce quite a bit.
How about for people that feel like they're 70?
That would be the recreational category.
Just remember, to finish is to win, so just remember that. We added a few new categories this year for a little bit of fun. We added one for law enforcement teams, again, with that competition mentality in mind, and we added one for fire and EMS. So any departments out here or New York or anybody who can hear us, if you were thinking about joining and having a race, you can race in that category against another department, another barracks, another agency, and see if you can get those bragging rights.
Represent,
and get some bragging rights. So another thing to just mention is that we are a 501(c), the Josh Billings is. So after our bills are paid. You know, and we are looking for sponsors.
I was going to ask you about fundraising because obviously to keep something like this alive and viable and working for the next year, you have to continue the conversation I had with the parade committee folks last night. Same thing, right? The great things like this only happen because people, A, put the time in on a volunteer basis, but then also that there's community support for it, right?
Right. And so, we are looking for sponsors. If anybody is interested in becoming a sponsor for the Josh Billings this year, you can get a hold of me. It's simple, brian@joshbillings.com. Or you can go to our website. There's a link there with some information about what our options are. And, the T-shirts are they really are sort of iconic and popular. I see them all around. People wear them all around.
And they're definitely collectible.
They are collectible. It's true. So sponsorship means that you get some recognition on that. And there's other things, but I won't get into the details. If somebody's interested, they can reach out to me. Like, we can talk about it. But we need that money, obviously, to pay our bills.
Yeah.
And once that is done, we give money to the United Way, Berkshire United Way.
Oh, that's cool.
So we have a partnership with them. So the money that we raise above and beyond our bills goes to the United Way here in Berkshire County.
Fantastic. So you're really doing good when you join and participate in the Josh Billings. That's great. Again, we're speaking with Chris Calvert and Brian Burkel. Chris is the president of the race committee, and Brian is the race director this year, and talking all about the race and the organization. And I guess we'll remind people again that this year the big headline is a return to tradition, where the finish line is happening back at the Tanglewood main gate. And as you described, the bash is happening there as well, which is sort of the cherry on top, right?
Yeah, that's where we have our awards ceremony. And,
we have live music.
Yeah. We have the Hoosie Shakers.
Oh, Hoosie Shakers. That's great.
You're familiar with them.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. I know they've done First Friday, I think, a few times anyway. Yeah. So the Hoosie Shakers will be performing.
Let's get them here in the studio. We've got to work on that.
Yeah, sure.
We'll do a morning performance.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd love it. And the interesting thing there is that some of the members of the band are actually paddling in the race. So they're really invested. Yeah,
but they'll have a little bit of a break while the running is going on. Yeah. Kind of recover a little bit and get the instruments out.
Yeah. So some of the guys will get everything all tuned up while these two guys are on the water, and then they'll join in as soon as they're done.
Nice.
But yeah, we have all kinds of food vendors. The Lenox Fire Department does hamburgers and hot dogs for sale. They raise money for their department or some youth organizations. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of other charitable things going on. And the other thing is that teams themselves sometimes will start a team and do their own GoFundMe type of thing and try to raise money. You know, it's another reason that sometimes motivates people to do these races. So there's lots of opportunities.
So they'll have their own cause
this.
That they're raising money for along the way.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, and then we'll also have a little recovery area at the bash. Mm. So there'll be some, probably we're talking with BCC and their student masseuses.
Ah, very
so,
nice.
So we're talking about to them about having that as an option. Mm. And as well.
Is there a recovery area for the bash as well, for the recovering from the bash?
Yeah,
for
the next morning.
Yeah, you got to go home. Got to go home. You can't stay here. Yeah. You know, don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. At some point, we do need to vacate. there's also Get Hut, which I don't know if you're familiar with that. Andy Hutt, he's got a mobile sauna and cold bath arrangement. So he's going to be joining us. So there'll be cold baths there, cold dips for people.
How many people come to that end of the race event? Is that how you sort of count how many people are actually, you know, connected and involved with the entire event?
Well, I'm usually too tired to count.
You can get an idea, though, of how many people have somehow been involved in the teams and the support families and all the volunteers from the race and things like that.
I'd have to imagine, and not everybody sticks around for the bash, but there's probably 500 plus people there.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, there's, you know, especially with the kids' race, there's a bunch of, you know, all of your daughters and sons that are cheering you on all day and then running around. That's always fun to watch.
And how many volunteers do you need from the event committee to keep this running? I know we talked about the need for them and where they got to go, but I mean, how many people are we talking about here?
About 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good number.
Yep. And we get there. We always get what we need, if you're interested, we got room for you for sure. Chris mentioned about the kids race as a component too. That is also going to be at Tanglewood as part of the bash. And,
and that's free for the kids to enter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's free.
They
free
just need to register the day before at the Arcadian shop when they're picking up their packets.
Yeah. And what does that consist of separate from the main event?
It's over in the west lot of Tango, excuse me. It's just, you know, it's a kid's race, a couple hundred yards, around cones and stuff like that. It's just a good opportunity to just sort of extend the event, make it more family friendly, that type of thing.
Cool. Get some starting to like the Josh at a young age.
Yeah.
It's brainwashing.
Indoctrination, right? Mm-hmm. Get them involved.
Yes.
But that's how kids find things that are interesting to them, right? Events like that. Just like anything that, you know, that they might get involved with other than staying at home and being on their device.
Right.
Which, again, this is sort of, you know, antithetical to that. It's one of these things that you have to be there for in person and you have to, you know, experience in real life. So many things don't happen that way anymore. So this is actually, in a lot of ways, very refreshing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because we, you know, like I said, we have categories of people 65 plus and we have people who participate. But we need to make sure we're getting the youth involved, too, for future generations and future teams.
Yeah.
So the earlier that we can indoctrinate them, as you said, the better, you know, get them interested in this as a sport, the better.
Yeah. Talk about, as we've got just a few minutes left, the COVID years and what a kind of a body blow that was, not only to the Josh race, but to so many other things and the recovery from that and what it's been like coming back from something that really, you know, sort of knocks you off kilter. And then how do you get back on the bike, if you will, and continue with something as great as this?
The year of COVID, we canceled the live race, but we allowed you to participate virtually, so you would go out on your own and do each of the legs.
Yep. Because so there was still some fear at that point, right? Even though it was an outdoor event, where a lot of the indoor events and performances and things were definitely off, you know, off the table.
Yeah.
Something like this, you would say, well, how would it be dangerous if people would be out in a boat or, you know, running or whatever? But there were still, at that time, a lot of concerns, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think there were a lot of people that were afraid to necessarily be in those large groups at that time, too. So, that was tough. You know, the years following, I think we're still, you know, we lost a lot of participation from 2019 to where we're at right now.
And I think you mentioned other races succumbed to that as well, right?
Yeah,
that they didn't make it through.
Second oldest race in the nation out in California. The last one was before COVID, and then knocked them out.
Couldn't pull it back together afterward, right?
Fortunately, I think there were still a lot of teams that were in the spirit of still doing it in some way or another, that it still helped us raise the money to donate to the United Way, and it still gave people a chance to get out there and even, you know, brag individually. It's almost like Strava on your apps, you know, competing with everybody else, whether or not you're in a pack or you're just trying to do it out on your own. But obviously not as fun as doing it live and in person and with all your friends and the food afterwards and the celebration. And, you know, that's a different story. And we've had a couple of different hiccups. We ran into an algae bloom on Stockbridge Bowl one year, which we had to literally write a week before the race, maybe a couple of days, work with Richmond, which was, they were generously enough to let us host our race on Richmond Pond. So
basically you can't boat during an algae bloom, right?
That's it's toxic.
Toxic.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't want to be near that.
No.
Yeah.
So that was another blow to us right after COVID. And then, you know, changing the course again when we were trying to finish up Camp Mackinac. I think Stockbridge was kind of pushing us to maybe not do that finish because it was difficult with pedestrian traffic and racer traffic. And it wasn't, you know, it takes away the safety factor.
Yeah.
And Richmond was very helpful for allowing us to go back there again this year if that could happen. And fortunately, as gracious as we are that they offered that, we were contacted about using Tanglewood's main gate again, which eliminated all the safety issues. It eliminated, you know, trying to squeeze everybody into a smaller area. We've got a beautiful finish line again. So naturally we took them up on their generosity and went right back to Tanglewood. I still wish to appreciate Richmond and Richmond Shores. That was very generous of you guys. But we're excited to be back at Tanglewood.
Shows you how much work, though, goes into this that people don't realize, right? As you're talking about all the details that have to get worked out just to get to the point, just to get to the starting line, if you will. I'll use another that's analogy.
Two
right?
races being put on at the same time.
Right? Sure.
And the city of Pittsfield, too, because part of that alternative route was going to be finishing in Pittsfield. And so we had meetings with the city, and everybody was fantastic and very, very welcoming to have us there. But, you know, Tanglewood worked out, and like you said, it's we had that template. It was much easier for us to do that, and kind of we know it's a guaranteed location for the Josh, for the Bash particularly.
Yeah. So, again, as we're getting close to the end of the show, just a recap, the Josh Billings Runaground happening on Sunday, September 14th. There is a registration sort of soft deadline on July 1st, where after that, the registration fees do go up. So there's a little bit of an incentive to people to get in and get your registration done now. And maybe even if you don't have a full team, you use the matchmaker service, right? That sounds like a great idea. And get those training hours in, right? Any other good thoughts that you want to throw out there before we're wrapping up here, folks?
Yeah, I just think, you know, the reason we're talking about this now is because we want people to put this on their radar and start to really consider putting together a team so they can participate and join us for this, because it's going to be great. It's everybody's excited about returning back to Tanglewood. The Bash is going to be, you know, it's a great location for that. People, it's really accessible for everybody to get there. And so, we're looking forward to it. So far, things are going really well, and we've got a great registration rate at this point. A lot of people signing up, so.
That's great. Yeah, good news. Good to hear that the Josh is back where people expect it and hoping it can be a great event again as it has been in the past. Mm-hmm. Chris Calvert and Brian Burkle, thanks so much for being here, both of you. And it's been great talking to you about this.
Thanks for having us.
Good luck with all the other things you got to do between now and September 14th to get this to happen. All right, everybody. It's been great having you along as well, listening to us this morning. We always appreciate that. And we'll be back tomorrow with another live episode of Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Have a great day, everybody. Yeah.